people around here trust the shepherds. Jamie, Adam, and the other Jamie. They always have. The sheep trust them too. Gather round, I'll throw another log on the fire. Turn it up just a touch, cause another episode of the Bobcast is starting now.
Welcome, this is a brand new episode of the Bobcast. Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam.
It's gonna be a good one.
Hey!
Yep.
Pig!
All right.
Our guest tonight, I am very excited about, a terrific, terrific comedian, someone who I enjoy watching work because they have a style that is all their own, the very talented Mr. George Wallace. George, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. I'm so happy to be with you guys, and I hope we have fun. I have no idea what we're doing. Jamie called me. When Jamie calls, you say yes.
Wow.
And we shouldn't have spoken over that because I would save that for my own voicemail.
When Jamie calls, you say yes.
Yeah.
That's why Adam and I are doing the podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there you go. Okay.
He called us.
That's perfect. So, George, how have you been? You been okay?
I've been actually wonderful. I'm enjoying life. You know, I've had 18 months off. I went on stage for the first time in about a week ago. I'm here in New York City, and I go to a show with Mr. Seinfeld, and he's doing his show, and he says, well, that's it for me. And now I'm coming to the stage. My best friend of 45 years, I'm going, you idiot. I have nothing. And at the same time, I'm on my way to the stage after 18 months. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I guess it's in me. You got to have that in you. And in you.
So how did you find it first time back?
I did very well.
You crushed it.
I listened to the show and I listened to what Jerry was saying. And Jerry was talking about so many people asking them, please watch my show. Jerry, watch my show. It's a good show. You know, the first four seasons sucked. But the other part of the show, you can binge on the skits. So I go on stage. I said, that's my best friend for 45 years, Jerry Seinfeld. He had that little show on television. You know, that little show. Uh-huh. You know, I said, the first four seasons sucked. But, you know, so I followed up on his jokes and I just started to take off from there.
Sure.
And had a little fun. And I always have my yellow pad with me and I have my telephone just to throw in a few things that I talked a little bit about being isolated and confined and quarantine?
Yeah. Were you doing that in New York? Were you quarantined in New York or where were you kind of hunkered down?
I did that in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
I started there on March, about March 20th. I came into Atlanta and I was there for the little shutdown of Lenox Square and Phipps Plaza across the street from me. So I got all that action in Atlanta. So
yeah, it was weird. Weird times.
Yeah, tough times.
And then I went through the COVID, learning how to live with COVID. And I never left my house. I never bought groceries. I never went to the grocery store. I think I've been to the grocery store once in the last month. I got in the habit of ordering everything. And, and I was eating different foods. I was eating chicken and Cheerios, all kind of crazy stuff, man. My food combinations, I had cheesecake and peanut butter. It was crazy, you know, and I was social distancing. It was so bad with me. I was trying to keep 6 feet away from myself. I even moved mirrors out of the house. I didn't want to see me. And my daughter would come by and to visit me, and she would be in the parking lot over at Phipps Plaza. And I live on the 25th floor, so I would wave at her and say, social distancing, keep moving.
That's funny.
As close as you're going to get. So it was a lot of fun coming up with the jokes and listening to all of the news. And just so my job, I'm so good that I have a job. And it's a serious moment with the quarantine, but my job is to make people laugh, and I can write the jokes and get people happy. When I see happy people, it makes me happier. Just like doing this podcast.
Yep.
I do a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, well, and it's become a good way to...
The Bobcast, I'm sorry. Bobcast.
Yeah, the
Bobcast. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like fun. All right, so we are going to do a series of rapid-fire questions. They're designed to elicit sort of reaction answers from you. Nothing salacious or intended to embarrass. I always like to prep that to make sure that
I'm already embarrassed because you said rapid-fire. I'm already embarrassed.
All right, so the first question, it's a practice question. Okay. Do you prefer clockwise or counterclockwise?
Clockwise.
Okay.
All right. Clockwise.
Giddy up.
Starting with Jamie.
All right. If animals could speak, which animal would say the stupidest things?
Probably dogs, because dogs get to see more than anybody else. They get to travel. They get to do. Matter of fact, there was a lady on the airplane the other day had a dog was like almost 4 feet. I know damn well she's not going to bring that dog on the airplane. Now, I love dogs. I love animals. But the airplanes were not made for dogs. And the dog would just probably going, where are you people going? Where are you going? Dog would just talk all the time, you know.
Dogs have seen how stupid we are, so it would give you some stupid comments.
Right? Yeah.
But of course.
When writing a new joke, pen or pencil?
Oh, pen.
Right.
Pen.
Commit.
Yeah. So you just wipe it off with the, you know, erase, but you don't erase it, you just keep writing with the pen.
Keep writing.
Yes.
That's the confidence of his time in comedy.
It is. Right. And how good his comedy is. He can go ahead and pen it. He doesn't need any erasers.
Print it.
George, what Olympic game would you most likely meddled in?
Probably talking. If they need a game of talking. I'd be telling jokes. And I would do it right there. I've been to 5 Olympics. And the best one ever was in the city of Atlanta in 1996. I don't know whether you guys lived in Atlanta, but it was just awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
And the Olympic Park was great. Yeah, so Olympic, I would be a talker. I've been auctioneer.
And now from the United States, the gold medalist George Wallace and talking.
I'm just imagining them talking like it's George versus the Russian. And they're talking, and then there's a commentator who's talking about the talking.
And then George stands over.
There's an interpreter. Yeah.
Yeah. And George stands over and be like, "You like that? You like that? You see what I just did? I talked you into the ground.
I'll take it right in. I bring the Marshall with me. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
Yeah.
Then I bring in the Chick-fil-A. My pleasure. Then I bring in the Mary Max. Moti. Then I bring in the OK Cafe.
You got it all. That's good. Well, I love that George just gave us a little treat about walking us around the Atlanta restaurant scene by how they greet their customers. Some of our national list sheep may not know it, but all the Georgia sheep just got a special little treat with
special
what do you have
outs.
And, you know, Mortiser and the and as well as the
my pleasure.
Yeah.
One thing I can brag about the city of Atlanta, we have a lot of number ones in Atlanta. People don't realize we got the best airline, Delta, in Atlanta. We got Chick-fil-A, number one fast food restaurant in America. We got UPS, number one. We got the CDC.
Yeah, you just opened up so many sponsorship opportunities for us.
That's right.
I really appreciate it there. We got the Delta, Chick-fil-A.
UPS, you got NCR, you got so much stuff in Atlanta. You got the Aaron's Ranch, you got
Home Depot,
U-Haul, Home Depot. You know what? I want to do a commercial so badly, so for Home Depot. I don't know why it's Home Depot, where doers do more. At the Home Depot. I don't want to do Lowe's. I just want to do Home Depot.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I even wrote a joke about this, Jim. You know, I always go to Home Depot. You can't get anybody to help you. So I brought my own orange apron. I wrote my name in it right here, and I fill it up with, I take a wheelbarrow, and I just load it up with stuff and just walk right out of the damn.
I'm making a delivery for this customer outside?
Yep.
All right, round two.
All right, which animal is most likely to use whatnot as a catchphrase?
Oh, my God, whatnot. That'd be me. And whatnot. Bull twit and whatnot. This is George Wallace. That would be a cat, because a cat has that attitude like, please, and whatnot. You ever notice you go to the grocery store now that there's a whole aisle with cat food and dog food? The whole aisle.
Yeah.
Just, it's, you know, when I was a kid, the dog ate what we ate.
He had like two choices, Purina and that's it. Now they got an entire, like, you know.
They did have Purina and Alpo. That was it, right?
That's it.
All right. So is it my turn?
Yes, your turn.
For the last question? All right. Best car for a road comic?
But the best car I would think would be, oh, God, I'm going to go with a Tesla right now.
Okay.
The X model, because I'm too big to get in others.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, George, you recently celebrated a birthday, so happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm another day.
Another year older? Can you give me a memorable birthday from your past? Would you have any memorable birthdays that you remember?
Well, I have some surprise. Oh, I had one in Las Vegas that threw a birthday party on July 21st. Got a lot of friends to show up. My favorite gospel artist, Yolanda Adams, Dunn and Marie, Gladys Knight, Jerry Seinfeld. Quite a few people showed up for my birthday in Las Vegas, Nevada. At the Flamingo, so that was really cool.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
All right, so that is going to do it for round one. We are going to be back.
Where's the bell?
We don't actually use the sounder. We just say that's going to do it.
You just have a bell. Ding, round one, round two.
We will be back with the next segment with Mr. George Wallace, comedian George Wallace. If you're not following him on social media, you are missing out on some pretty clever content.
Oh, so the Twitter feed is a great stuff.
Go check him out. We will be back with more podcast guest George Wallace right after this.
George Wallace.
So I have a conspiracy theory about the Olympics. I think it's only for the United States. Hmm. Because what I don't understand is, do all countries share the same video feed?
Every country is watching it on NBC, yes.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So where are all the other cameras, right? And so the other thing is, after the athletes do their thing, they're often like at the diving board, they're often interviewed right now. Where are the other interviewers?
Off camera.
Yeah, but where are they? Like, it's you never see another country's interviewers. Are we all going on the same feed and they're just translating it?
So this is like Man on the Moon type stuff? Like, no, you think this is all happening in a studio somewhere in Burbank?
No, I think that the Olympics are basically an American sport. And we do it to make ourselves feel superior because we always crush in the medal counts and yada, yada, yada. How does it work? Are there multiple video feeds? Are there translations to the same? Or is there an Olympic video feed that does everybody?
Yes. There is.
You just keep saying yes.
Yes, there is. There is. It exists.
Is it an Olympic feed?
The Olympic feed.
Or is it an individual
it's a station
feed?
That comes on only once every 4 years.
And it's just the Olympics.
And it's just the other 3 years, it's a test pattern.
Oh.
Yeah. But you do raise an interesting point about if talking were a sport in the Olympics, what's the language you're competing in?
Right. Right.
Are you competing in English?
Or do you have to compete in
which
in the
case,
home country?
I would then say, technically, you should get additional points if English is not your native language.
Completely. Right. The idea of you're able to talk at an Olympic level in a foreign language?
I think when you have other countries competing, that at least in the preliminary rounds, you should get to compete in your native tongue and you have a translator.
Some of those translators are just bitter because they're like, I could do this better than this guy.
Right. They're like, I basically run for the runner.
Yeah.
I'm running for the runner.
Think about
it's kind of like...
I ski for the skier.
It's kind of like the horse. Jockey gets all the glory.
Right.
Horse doing all the work.
In the equestrian events, does the horse get to go up on the podium?
No.
Is that a horse podium?
No.
There's no horse podium?
I think if you go in the back, there's three different stables at levels. There's a slight incline, you get a higher stable.
That's at least so a horse can look down on
fair.
The other horses.
Champion horse.
Yeah, I mean, that seems fair.
Other horses. We've had a little break there from our guest this episode, Mr. George Wallace. Appreciate him joining us.
That's Dr. Wallace, by the way. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Oh, is it Dr. Wallace?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you feel better since you're talking to me?
I feel 100% better.
I'm impressed.
That's what we do, Jamie, at your club. We're doctors. People feel much better when they leave your showroom than they do when they leave the doctor's office. So we put a happy on people's face. That's nothing better than a smile. And it's been said time and time again. Laughter is the best medicine in the world.
Yeah. I'd hate to be the nurse that has to do the check drop at doctor's office when you get the copay.
Right? The lady that walks in, I'm with the finance department.
Oh, we're having such a good visit. Yeah.
That's not at the doctor's office. That's at the dentist.
Yeah.
That guy robs people.
Oh.
The dentists just spread out rob people. They don't need Novocaine or whatever that stuff is. They give you the tsunami. They just show you the bill first.
You know, it's funny that you say that, though, because I recently have been to the dentist, and I feel like the dentist now uses the visit to upsell on everything.
Yeah. It is a weird thing with the dentist.
You mean like the photos that they take of your teeth? They give you like the option to get it framed or to...
Yeah. I feel like I'm at the log flume at Disney. And I'm like, I don't need to take home the picture. I don't need two wallets and 3 5x7s.
Yeah, you do need two wallets. Yes, you do. When you go to a dentist, you need two wallets and a checkbook. I tell you what, one thing about the dentist and whatever they say, you don't know what the hell they're talking about. Just, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's always a fluoride mix that's not covered under insurance. And they're like, you're going to need this fluoride. And, you know, my friend who is a dental assistant, she's like, yeah, that's called Listerine. Right. She's like, if you get the purple Listerine, that's a fluoride rinse that you're paying like $75 for at a dentist.
What is it about dentists that makes us so comfortable to be willing to just go to sleep in front of them? Like this person.
No, you don't just go to sleep. They put you to sleep. You don't just fall asleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't mean like I go there with a pillow and cuddle up with but they say, okay, we're going to put you to sleep now. You're going to be completely unconscious. You don't know us. And there we have it.
We're going to mess with your face.
Right.
Well, that's not often. That's for major surgery.
That's true.
You to sleep. Yeah.
I feel like the line has been.
I may need a dental recommendation.
Yeah. The line has been definitely moved that they'll gas you for stuff that in the past, if you're uncomfortable with the cleaning, we'll knock you out a little bit. It's like when they do the sleep studies That's kind of, I think I would be more creeped out about the sleep study people.
That's true.
Oh, the sleep study people. Have you had that? I've had the sleep study.
Have you?
I need to have another one.
And what do they do?
You don't know. They just tell you anything. They say, they tell you you were dreaming really badly. So last he was just saying, they would tell you, well, what was I dreaming about? I tell you one thing. If you go to a sleep doctor, you're going to come out of there with a CPAP machine. I can tell you that. They want you to have one.
Yeah.
That's what they
Everybody's getting CPACs now.
All right. So listen to this, George. So did you get one? Did you get one of those devices?
I did, and I used it for a while, I sleep just as well without it.
There you go.
Okay. So my understanding is that it's like Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth connected, and so they can tell you that they can run the clean cycle remotely.
Are you about to get conspiracy theory?
No, this is true.
What are you talking about, Jim?
Where are we going here?
I'm telling you that these machines are
Bluetooth enabled. And that they have chips in them that the government's going to run us soon?
That if the prescription will say you're supposed to use this 8 hours.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And what happens for a lot of people who use them, I don't have one, but this is my understanding, is that you may wear it to fall asleep. And then at some point in the evening, you wake up and you take it off and you go back to bed. But you may have only worn it for 5 hours or 4.5 hours or whatever it is. Okay.
Are you going to summit, get to the point anytime
I am,
too?
I'm about
okay.
to. Yeah. And if you're not wearing it for the prescribed time, it no longer is covered by your insurance.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what the chip does. My chip did. Yeah. You have to wear it at least 5 hours.
I was trying to figure out where you were going with that.
So it's a tattletale?
It's a tattletale.
I was thinking either someone shows up at your house in the middle of the night and puts it back on your head. I was thinking that if you go more than the 8 hours, that you get a bill because you only paid for 8 hours worth of work, right? So you.
No. They just charge you for it.
The sleep and the dentist, the upselling seems like it's getting a little out of
control. It's upselling.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second now. Don't leave the mechanics out. If I drive by, I have a Mercedes in Atlanta. If I drive by Buckhead Mercedes on Piedmont, I get a bill in the mail just for driving by. Just for driving by.
All right. So, George, in this round, let's do a little bit of follow-up on some of the things that we talked about in the initial round.
Did we ever get a question from Adam?
Yeah, we had one. We got the birthday question and we got the Olympic question. So that birthday party seems like it's an incredible one. What year was that from?
I have no idea.
How old were you?
I have one every year, so I don't tend to remember. I had a lot of them.
If you're celebrating a birthday, would you rather be celebrating that in New York, Vegas, or Atlanta?
It doesn't matter. I love people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. I can have a great time in Atlanta with my family, with all the people in Atlanta, Las Vegas, good people everywhere. I'm so blessed. I have good people around me all the time. I'm one of the most blessed person you've ever met. Okay. So it's good. I'm the most successful comedian you've ever met. It's not how much money you make. It's how you enjoy your life while you're living. And so that's how I say that.
So George, if I gave you the opportunity to do it, do you think... do you remember in the first 10 jokes you wrote, is there any one of the first 10 jokes that you ever wrote that you sometimes pull out and tell kind of just for fun?
Oh, no. I did a stupid joke once I never forgot. It was, we were so poor. This was not a tasteful joke either. We were so poor. We used to make the dog and the cat make love. And one day, the cat delivered, and so we didn't know what to call it. So we took the D from dog and the AT from cat, and everybody came to our house and went, "What's that? What's that?" Wait a second, don't. You guys are not supposed to laugh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's that? We were so poor in Atlanta, right there in Linwood Park, 1 mile from where you guys are. So like, we were so poor, we watching TV, we could only watch Sanford. We never knew there was a sun. We never knew there was a sun.
We're going to be back with more of comedian George Wallace right after this. This is The Vodcast. Don't wander too far, sheep. We're going to be right back. Taka taka. George did what I think a lot of people did during the pandemic, which is become a order in delivery person.
Yep. Instacart delivery. Get it all.
So have you ever done groceries by delivery?
I have.
And did you like it?
I like the whole concept. I won't do produce through them anymore.
I just found it offensive that he called me and gave me a list of groceries to go get him. I thought it was an assumption.
And by the way, you're horrible at picking out produce.
I mean, look, you just smash the thing with your hand. If it's soft, it's right.
Yeah, half the produce I got was smashed.
Can I tell you a true confession?
True confession time.
I shopped.
Sheep, get close. We're going to do a true confession.
I was my family's pandemic grocery person.
That's okay.
I have the most robust immune system.
Yeah, and you know the layout of the store pretty well.
So my spouse would give me a list and never gave it to me in layout. Stream of consciousness.
So she's a produce bread meat person.
It could be produce bread, meat, paper produce. Product, yeah. Dairy.
No, I'm in frozen. Oh, and I need deodorant.
Yeah, it's like, so I rewrote it and grouped it by layout.
I was the grocery shopper for my family, but I kind of felt like my family got together and figured I was the most expendable. And I have a life insurance policy.
You're
trying to do a good thing.
I don't think they were trying to kill me. I just think there was an upside if I happened to get to
if there's a zombie apocalypse outside, do you think your family is like, Dad, why don't you go check on the dog?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, we're back with comedian George Wallace. George, thank you for joining us. This is the podcast, Jamie, and Adam.
You know what you guys are doing, right? You guys, this is the start of a new radio show in the city of Atlanta. And we're going to go syndicated nationwide. And we're pretty good.
Okay. I'm in.
There you go. All right, let's do it.
I'm in.
All right. So there is a joke writing style, right? And that is more akin to street joke, right? Mm-hmm. That I think is a very hard style to do well, because I think it has a particular cadence and melody to it.
The cadence and the melody is more of old school style, though. As you notice, the young kids, they don't do jokes with a... See, my formula is 1-2-C or AB3. There's a twist at the end. Set it up, substance, punchline. And the punchline is the twist. 1-2-C or AB3, the twist. See, a joke is a process, a thought process.
Right.
You got to think about it and then turn it on.
Let's do our last round of rapid fire questions. These are, George, these are intended to be a little deeper questions. Still first reaction answers. All right. So would you like to continue clockwise or counterclockwise?
Counterclockwise this time.
Counterclockwise this time, starting with Jamie.
This is a multi-part question. I just tell that to my host so they can relax and let me get my multi-part questions.
What is that? Okay, you're going to start with Jamie again? He started the first time.
Well, we always start with Jamie.
Yeah, he always starts with Jamie.
He's the orientation point.
So if you were to do clockwise, you should start with Adam and then go back that way.
He wanted to start with me is what the man is saying. He wanted to have me start. And so since you're going to do that multi-part thing, maybe I should just go ahead and start, Jamie.
No, fine. Look, you know what?
He says, don't listen.
Don't walk out.
Please don't.
All right. No, I'm back.
He's leaving the show over the clockwise, counterclockwise.
James Brown would say, please. Please don't go.
Please don't go.
Please don't. Jamie, please don't go.
I got a serenade out of this.
Jamie, please don't go. Jamie, please don't go.
That is the only time you're going to hear that on the show.
I'm just telling
literally,
you.
Literally, we keep saying, Jamie, go.
Yeah.
Just Jamie, go.
Jamie, go.
Jamie, go.
Jamie, please go.
One of those songs is going to end up as the theme song the to the podcast. And my ringtone. All right. Am I starting?
You start.
You go ahead.
Is it prejudgment to assume that a stool pigeon would not be good at the javelin throw?
See, you've been deep into tweets, haven't you?
Yes.
Those are my tweets, you know. Shout out to the javelin. We don't have enough javelins around anymore. You know, when the last time you heard the word javelin? Every 4 years, it gets no respect, you know. A stool pigeon is going to have to pick a side when the crap goes down between the stool and the pigeons, okay? Just like cotton candy. Cotton candy is going to have to pick a side when the crap goes down between the cotton and the candy. Witch doctors are going to have to choose a side. See, you've been reading the tweets.
Okay. Are you cotton? Are you candy? Are you a witch? But are you a doctor?
Make up your mind, right?
Okay, in which Olympic event would the stool pigeon be the most successful?
The rhythm.
The rhythm dancing.
Oh, yeah, the rhythm gymnastics.
Wait a second. Come on, guys. Out of all the events in the Olympics, what the hell is the rhythm thing?
Yeah, those little ribbons that they throw around in the gymnastics thing. And it's like gymnastics is such a hard sport, and it's totally taken down by the fact of that ribbon thing.
I don't really watch a lot of the Olympics, but if there was stool pigeons doing rhythm dancing, I would watch that every single episode.
I wouldn't necessarily presume that a stool pigeon would be a Summer Olympics athlete. I think the stool pigeon would excel at curling. Because they would do the little feet shuffle. They would slide their little...
Yeah. Okay.
Well, why would they not be a good skateboarder?
Oh.
Little feet.
Yeah, I like the skateboard.
Well, and they could probably elevate a little bit. They could elevate a little bit.
Yeah, get the full aerials.
Yeah. And they have claws that they could grab the edge of the board as it's rotating.
Well, they don't need to because they're already balancing. When they land, it doesn't matter where the board lands. They could be right on top of it.
All right, Adam, you're up.
So, George, do you believe in aliens?
Hell yes.
Aliens, he believes in. That was my question.
But I don't know why they would come to Earth. Come on. They're going like, they want to know first thing. That's why they wouldn't come. We down here shooting people and all like that. They go, what's wrong with those idiots? And who's to say they look like people?
That's right.
Also true. Okay, George, in your life, what was the time when you were most scared?
Oh, my. I had some friends in Ohio once at college. And I went to their homes. They lived out in Canton, Ohio. We were shooting pool. And one of the guys was a real racist. I knew that for a fact. But they wanted to play a game. We were down in the basement. And they shut the lights off. And, you know, can you imagine being in a basement in a place you don't know where you are?
No.
And everything goes through your head. It's just like, they're going to kill me.
Yeah.
So I was scared. I was really scared. But I haven't been to, I don't even know how to answer that question. But I never will forget that moment of going like, you're going to kill me. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how
I'm
to get to safety.
Just visiting somebody's house.
That's scary.
A group of flamingos band together to establish a comedy showroom in a Las Vegas casino.
Uh-huh.
What is the likelihood that they would be so terrible at management that they would end up booking competing comedians on opposite sides of the casino floor, resulting in the eventual loss of one of Las Vegas's longest running and successful comedy acts?
Where the hell?
What kind of question? Like, where did we get this guy, right, George? Is that okay. What you
No, he knows where he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying too.
Yeah.
They did that to my room at the Flamingo in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I was so successful. Then they thought, well, this comedy thing is working really well. Let's bring in another comedian at 8 o'clock for free. Don't let the people go in for free. So what do you think? My show is at 10 o'clock. Don't you think the people are going to go to the other show for free?
Mm-hmm.
Just because the hotel is selling drinks?
Oh, that's brilliant.
No.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
So actually, since you raised it as a question, can I ask a follow-up to your rapid fire question?
Of course.
I will condone it.
Okay.
Yeah. How did you study me to find that happened to me in Las Vegas? And I still did very well, but I wasn't doing 750 seats every night.
Mr. Vegas.
And so my thing is that if he were only taking away, let's say, 20 customers a night, 20 customers times $100 over the week, over the year, a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Can I answer his question, though, real quick?
Okay.
Because I did find an article that talked about that situation. Mm-hmm. But I think that George is kind of experiencing the same thing that we experienced on a previous show when we had a guest who, at the end, said, by the way, guys, I did a background check on you guys. And one of you has a criminal record. And we said, wait a second.
Hold on a second.
And then we all looked at each other like, who's got it?
Yeah. All right, whose turn is it for question?
Well, no, I actually think the style that we were going is great. And I love the idea that you were talking about where I think about George's career of kind of selling the product of laughter. And you've been doing it for so long, and it must be, I'm just kind of a little bit sitting back thinking, you've dealt with these huge crowds in Las Vegas. You've done it for a very long time. You continue to entertain a couple nights ago in New York, and that must be a pretty fulfilling thing, that you look back at your life and you've sold laughter to so many people for so long.
Listen, when you live your dream, there's nothing better than that, to go to work and love going to work and having a job that you enjoy. Not many people get to do what they really – I wanted to be a comedian since 6 years old. Not many people get to actually do what they want to do. And Adam, Jamie, you guys don't know all I do. And sometimes I choke up and thank God for where I am. And I now open the show just telling people how blessed I am, because all I do is just lie. I just make up shit. I love to bring out the points that everything is a lie. You know,
you're just a great liar.
Is it your turn? Are you? Is it on your question?
No,
is it my
I'm
question?
Good.
It's actually his question was, how often do you lie? But he felt bad about asking that question, so it worked out great for him. Check
I
that
lie.
Box.
If I'm talking, if what they say, if he's breathing, he's lying.
Yeah. All right. Is it my turn then?
It is your turn.
Okay. George, in your life, do you feel you have unfinished business?
Oh man, I don't know. I know I'm the laziest. I'm at the point right now where I'm the laziest person in the world. I could get twice as much done if I went to work every day and just worked, worked, worked. Man, I would. If But I'm satisfied with who I am, and I'm satisfied with where I am. I could retire tomorrow. I could retire today. I can go anywhere in the world I want to go. I got, as you notice, I got the properties. I got what else? I got great family, the great kids. I got everything you could ever ask for. That's why I'm the most blessed person, successful person in the world.
Yeah, I'd be afraid to answer that question. Yeah, I'd be afraid to say, no, I'm good. And just, where's the lightning?
Straight coming right down. Okay, I'm done. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
All right. On the cover of the book, Bulltwit and Whatnot, The Online Ramblings of George Wallace, the illustrated bird on the cover is incredibly dressed. Incredibly dressed up with a nice black hat, pink dress shirt, purple suit jacket, pocket scarf, but no pants. My question is, are there situations in which you can be considered dressed up if you're not wearing pants?
Yes. There are lots of situations. Like, you go to a new beach, you're fully dressed, formally dressed.
Could you wear a pocket scarf, though?
You could wear what?
A pocket scarf. Is that what they're called in the suit jacket?
Pocket square.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you get pocket gloves.
Yeah.
Like a square.
Yeah. We've lost this guy. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, George. Sorry for the strange animal questions. He's gotten addicted to them.
He loves his animal questions. Every episode, it's animal questions.
We're working through him.
All right, final.
Wait a second. Let's talk about this. Wait a second.
Yes, I was setting up an opportunity to talk about.
Look at that.
This is the book.
That is a good-looking bird.
And whatnot. I put the colors together. First of all, we had a blue bird because it's kind of relating to Twitter.
Twitter, yep.
And I said, let's dress the bird up. And those are the colors. I wear a lot of those colors. Almost had to, if you see the marquee in Las Vegas, I'm in these colors. Mm-hmm. The kind of fuchsia or a hot pink or whatever. And the purple. I wear a lot of purple. And that's Wally Bird.
Bulltwit and whatnot.
And whatnot.
So
another acceptable answer would have been Zoom meetings.
Okay.
Zoom meeting.
Okay. George, the best city in the world.
You want to know? I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to tell you. For me,
yeah,
that would be Shanghai.
Ooh.
Shanghai. You see Central Park behind me right now, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, have you guys been to Asia?
I have not.
A lot of people don't know. I am so stupid because the government did teach me, I hope I say this right, that America, they kind of taught us that we're the only place that really hasn't gone on more than anywhere else. Well, other people are living very well. And places like Shanghai. Shanghai is three times larger than New York City with people. It's three times more modern than New York City. And it is just, you'd be surprised what's going on in that city. Amazing. And there's a city called Macau, which makes Las Vegas look like Atlantic City.
Wow.
So I'm pretty wrapped up in Asia. And Dubai is a nice city, too. Hmm. I don't know whether you've been to Dubai. I was in Dubai yesterday.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was in Dubai yesterday.
Did you do a show in Dubai?
Hold on. He just told us that he lies all the time.
So, George,
you should know that by now. That's what I do on stage every night. Wherever anybody's from, I was there yesterday.
I assume that you travel significantly more than I do. And so if you were to tell me that you were someplace yesterday, I would believe that you were someplace yesterday.
Well, that's how good I am. I'm a good liar.
Yeah, he's
a great liar. He's been doing it for a long time.
The greatest cities in the world. Have you guys traveled? Because this is very important to me. Because some people don't travel. Do you guys travel?
Probably not enough.
Not to the extent that you travel.
Yeah, I do travel, but I have not traveled as far afield as I should have.
Well, excuse me, your favorite city.
My favorite city?
I'm talking to you.
Me.
My dad said, I'm talking to you.
Yeah. My favorite city that I've been to, I love San Francisco.
Nice city. Very nice. If you were to live in a city in California, I think San Francisco would be the city.
Adam is closing this out.
I didn't get to ask my second question.
Jamie's got a second question.
I have my additional question coming. Right.
To you.
Yeah. There you go.
I, when I was quitting, you changed the rules and
that's
clockwise.
True.
And
that's true.
I'm glad you didn't quit.
All right.
Are you?
Please go, Jamie. Please go.
Can I ask a two-part question?
Of course.
Okay, here's my two-part question. Part one is, what is the duration of the time period that is generally regarded as too soon?
Ooh, for comedy?
Yep.
Depends on who you're with and the moment. Depends on what your relationship is with the people that you're with. Because sometimes we can hit a joke right off the bat. Tiger Woods had an accident, and the first thing I said was within 30 minutes. How many accidents has Tiger Woods had? Four! four. So sometimes people go too soon because we didn't know his condition at the
That's
time.
That's right. You know? So part two is related to that concept. Who never fails to make you laugh?
Well, there's a young kid named DC Young Fly. There's some young kids out there. I pretty much love all the comedians. I love Kathleen Madigan. I love, and you know, and I would look at a person, Jerry Seinfeld, my best friend for 45 years. I could watch a show for 45 minutes and maybe not laugh at all, but be totally amazed. Because sometimes we just go, Sometimes we're pissed off because how did he make that funny? So simple. You know, sometimes we're analyzing, diagnosing, what's the word for it? Dissecting and
taking the joke apart.
The joke, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but DC Young Fly, Don DC Curry. There's so many comedians that will make you laugh. Hank Denson. I love all. You know, there's a kid, he's a pharmacist in Atlanta. Do you know a comedian named LeVar Walker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God. This
he's
guy
terrifically
is so
funny.
Good. So good.
Yeah. So, George, super appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. People should be following you on Twitter.
Follow me at Mr. George Wallace on Twitter. That's where I'm not smart, Jamie, other Jamie. I'm an older guy, and what I do on Twitter should be on TikTok. I should be on TikTok today. That's the new thing with the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, your TikTok would be killer.
Yeah. So just take the tweet to the TikTok.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, George. I can't wait to see you back in Atlanta. Be safe, be well, and continued success, my friend.
Au revoir, Adama. No, I won't see you tomorrow. As they say down south, over and over. Bye-bye.
All right, there was comedian George Wallace, terrific guy. If you haven't seen him on stage, you really owe it to yourself to go check it out. Fantastic in person. Follow him on social media. We'll be back, you know, before you know it. See you next time. Taka taka.
Fire's getting low. This episode of the Bogcast is over. Time to go home now, sheep. Go on, back to where you came from. We'll call you back when it's time for another Bogcast. Taka taka.